everyone. Welcome to my operetta. This is called Reverend Stormfield Goes to Heaven, based on a short story by Mark Twain. I want to warn you ahead of time, because I see some younger audience members in the crowd, that this has a lot of adult content in it. So if you need to shield the ears or maybe not see the rest of this, if you're not okay with that, I'm just letting you know now, it has a lot of adult content. So please note that ahead of time. This is sort of a unique thing I have going on here, because this is an operetta that's a part of my dissertation that I'm still working on. So what you're going to see today is four different scenes from the operetta, and they're going to be partially staged. So some of this stuff is going to be, there's going to be some action going on, but you're going to have to use your imagination a little bit, because we don't have a ton of light changes, and the orchestra's obviously not in the pit right now. So. But just to let you know, that's kind of what's going on. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy the show. And without further ado, here's Reverend Stormfield Goes to Heaven.
My child, welcome to the glorious kingdom of our Lord. quite enough. I think we might have to fast track this one. Well, dear, what's your name?
Stormfield. Reverend Nancy Stormfield.
You're Nancy Stormfield? And do you know who I am?
How could I? I've just met you.
Of course, my apologies. Well, usually we, try to get people more accustomed to what their view of heaven is like before, you get to see, well, behind the scenes, so to speak. Anyway, you can call me Bernice.
So, this is heaven, right?
Yes, of course. You see, when someone gets to heaven, we usually have a list of what will be most welcoming and pleasant to them. Unfortunately, we've been having a few technical difficulties with you. But usually everyone gets to see their version of heaven when they first get here, before exposing them to the real thing. Maybe if I give you an example, that will help you understand better. Yesterday, there was a man whose name was... Where's the list?
What list?
The clipboard with all the names on it?
Let me grab it.
Anyway, this man was a humble farmer from Montana who actually thought pearly gates were going to open up for him with all the heaven and singing. Of course, we couldn't get all of heaven, but we got as many as we could together, along with all the other frills like wispy clouds and little harps, and we even spray painted those gates over there if you can still see them.
I've got it! Here. It was Jeremiah Longley.
Yes, that's right, Longley. Thank you. Jeremiah, a conservative name for a conservative entrance.
Are there less conventional entrances than Jeremiah's?
Of course. Where do I even begin? We had this one person. There he is, Jeffrey Smith. I expected a pretty run-of-the-mill entrance for him, but boy, did I peg him wrong. I had to call in reinforcements for that one.
Why? Did he also have a big fanfare?
You can say that.
In his mind, there was a runway.
Like, for an airplane?
A giant runway where he could be who he truly was.
Airplane pilot.
And when he finally strut down that strip of stage, for the very first time in his life, he was in heaven.
Wait, that cannot be right. A man in heaven wanted to dress as a woman?
There's a lot more of them than you think out there.
It's true. That was quite a setup, wasn't it?
Not as much as Amita Gupta.
Oh, yes, Amita. Now let me remember. In her mind there was a stage. A stage as large as the sea.
All the lightning, audience members, fog machines, mother of all shitstorms.
Yes, almost as big a production as
The Clockman.
The Clockman was truly an interesting specimen. The setup for that entrance was quite intricate. A clock on this wall, a clock on that. A clock above, below, inside, and out. And every other prepositional place you could think of. And there he sat for years on end, tapping his fingers along.
I don't know what to say. I never imagined heaven this way. Wait, don't tell me those Catholics were right all along. Am I in purgatory?
Shit, lady. Purgatory? Are you serious?
I don't know. I didn't think it would be like this. I think I need to sit down.
That's all right. It's a lot to absorb. We can take this one step at a time.
Okay. I think it'd be fine. If there was less, using Lord's name in vain?
When you've been here for a few billion years working my job, then you can criticize me. Who the fuck does she think she is? Moses or something?
All right, that's enough. Why don't you go set up for the next entrance so this mishap doesn't happen again?
Yeah, yeah.
I apologize. She gets a little testy sometimes when things don't go according to plan. She's good underneath that rough exterior, and that's all that really matters here. And the cursing thing, you'll get more accustomed to it over time. Are you ready for the rest of your tutorial?
Tutorial?
Yep. Let's just check the clipboard. Ah, here you are, Reverend Nancy Stormfield. Let's see. Well, this was originally scheduled for 1 year from now, but since dancing to atmospheric music and corny repetitive choir songs is now completed, we'll move on to your second stop, the Heavenly Choir.
Good, that's a relief. I cannot wait to sing praises to my Lord and Savior every day for all of eternity.
Yeah, sure, something like that. Come on, let's go check it out. Please try to keep up with me on this next part. The roads are extremely difficult to navigate without a guide.
Where are we?
Welcome to the City of Departments. Of course, this is only one branch, but I'll try to point them all out as we pass. Come on now, hurry along. On our left, we have the Department of Gender Reassignment, allowing all creatures to conveniently and quickly apply for gender reassignment.
So I could get a penis?
Yes, anyone can get a sex change. In heaven, all that is required for any transformation is documented paperwork, and upon approval, the change goes into effect immediately. Coming up on our right is the DOR, or the Department of Orientation Realignment. Here, those who wish can have their genes realigned so their sexual preferences change.
Well, wait, you can change your sexual let's back up a little more. There's sex in heaven.
Sex in heaven? Of course there's sex in heaven. What do you think this would be, a convent? That we're a bunch of prunes? No sex in heaven. And here, you get to choose when you orgasm. Needless to say, our female entrants are always enthralled with this revelation.
Interesting.
Coming up ahead, we have some rather self-explanatory departments. The Department of Taste Bud Redistribution, Department of Height Reconstruction, Department of Skin Recoloration, and of course, the latter requires orientation in how to discriminate, or how to be discriminated against, depending on how dark or light you want to shade yourself. The class must be taken immediately before you begin your transformation. The side effects can sometimes be pretty severe for someone who's unprepared to...
seen anyone like that in a long time.
Okay. Well, thanks anyway. Excuse me.
Yeah? What is it?
Did you happen to see someone in a cloak pass by here a few minutes ago?
A cloak? No, I haven't seen a person in a cloak since we first got here.
Didn't we just see someone in a cloak walk by?
No, that was a long time ago.
Damn line like the rest of us.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
What are you staring at?
It's just, you're the first young person I've run into in a while.
Well, why do you think we're all standing in this line?
Well, I have the faintest idea why.
This is the damn line.
I'm sorry?
The damn line, you know, Department of Age Matriculation.
What are you enrolling in?
You're a newbie here, aren't you? Well, let me tell you how not to make the same mistake all of us did. One night. I first got to heaven, I said to myself, I can't wait to be beautiful and young with health. But soon you realize, to your dismay, your mind's so much duller and useless without age. So day after day and night after night, this line keeps growing no end in sight. To be old, to be old, have your mind filled with gold, and foolish, useful lust pass away. To be frail and pale, your breath a little stale, but filled with wisdom untold.
I went to the bar and sat drinking and waiting my party through the night. Exchange all the drinking for sitting.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil is what you humans call it, but it is better known as the Heavenly Library.
Yes, quite magnificent. It will rival anything on Earth 1,000 times over.
Do you not know me?
Bernice, you've changed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that my appearance will shift over the course of our journey.
Why is that?
Well, as your eyes begin to adjust to this heavenly realm, I will also appear different in your eyes. But don't worry about that now. Would you like to take a look around?
Of course. I assume this is some kind of library. How is it all organized?
That's correct. It's organized mostly regionally.
What do you mean regionally? Like books from Branson, Missouri versus Manhattan?
No, I mean regionally by, well, let me show you at this terminal over here. What's your home galaxy?
The Milky Way?
All right, here we are, the Milky Way. Let me give you an example of one of the entries here. Was just for you, did you? You did. Well, maybe this next one will put things into perspective. In the galaxy of Bo, there's a system known as Go with a little round dwarf called the Sun. And here the air consists of Pelusium and Primogen and Zeronium and... I'm sorry, sometimes I get caught up with the reading the entries.
Never even heard of that galaxy before.
Would you like to know what the number one book from that planet is?
Sure, why not?
The book is called The Splendor of Worlds Unknown by Ramthrigbor. I've read parts of it quite myself. Quite an intriguing read, balancing the exquisite metaphor of interspecies commonalities against their paradigm of time.
Oh, how about Earth?
What?
Earth? My home planet?
Yes, you mentioned that earlier, but it's not coming up on the search. What system?
The solar system?
No, you said you were from the Milky Way galaxy, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, let's start there. Let's see. Wow, there are a lot of planets. Let me narrow the search to planets in habitable systems. Okay, I have Spireta, Chalic, Dormiar, Jupiter, Kuiper.
Jupiter! Yes, that's from my solar system.
Okay. That's classified as a microplanet. Now let's see. Another micro mini planet here called the Wart.
The Wart?
Yes, it looks like in the comments it says something referred to as Earth. As many planets as there are. Oh, and here's your number one best-selling book.
The Bible.
Well, for a time, but currently it's an ancient love story called 50 Shades of Grey.
Really?
Yes, that's correct. I've never read it before. How is it?
I'm sure we have other great books up here, like John Steinbeck or Nathaniel Hawthorne.
I've never heard of them. But this place is quite expansive and growing continuously. Over 562 billion rooms and 965 quadrillion volumes and counting.
Wow. Oh, and what's that room over there?
Oh, that is the meditation chamber.
So like a reading room in the library?
No, it's much more than that. On most worlds, people try to cram all their learning into tidy little 4, 6, or 20-year degrees and expect those among them who are educated to be filled with wisdom and knowledge. But even the contents of one good book takes centuries to comprehend. That's why the wisest in heaven often spend a millennium meditating on a single copy.
All this knowledge up here makes me feel like I don't know anything.
Any individual knows very little of the universe, and since the library is expanding infinitely, With all the knowledge from the past and present, it is impossible to ever have infinite knowledge.
Wait. Is that? No, it can't be. I've only seen him in a picture once. Is that Charles Darwin over there?
Wait,
excuse me. Excuse me. Mr. Darwin.
I can tell from that look that you're an earthling. Surprised to see me, you wouldn't be the first.
I'm sorry, Mr. Darwin, sir. We're on our tutorial, and she's a little bit excited, you know, with everything up here.
It's not a problem, really. I remember my first time, as many of us do. What is your name, ma'am?
Reverend Stormfield. But how?
What am I doing here?
Well, not to be rude, but as the antagonist to my religion for so long, yes.
I was never the enemy to Christianity. I was just spreading the truth.
The truth? You mean evolution? No, that can't be right. It isn't true, right?
It's not as big of a deal as you wardlings make of it.
Tell me, Reverend Stormfield, have you ever seen a beautiful painting?
Yes.
What's your favorite one?
I guess I like the water lilies by Monet.
Well, tell me, would it be more meaningful to you if Monet had painted that beautiful work in one stroke, or had painted one stroke each day for 1,000,000 years?
I don't know. I guess the first one feels almost too easy, and the second more methodical and purposeful.
Exactly. And don't you think God would have had the same such purpose for all his creation? Don't you think he has more knowledge than you or I? You think that one book, like the Bible, could contain an infinitesimal fraction of his actions? To think he made you and I all in the blink of an eye. What an undistinguished God, to think that in the beginning there would be no metaphor or simile. What an uncreative God. Let man be so deceived by science and logic and undeniable facts. What an unabashed God. To think without thoughts of death and despair, to obey on command without raising a finger, and I, his creation, made in his image and might, would have knowledge and wisdom and logic so trite. What a hopeless, what a ruthless, what a trivial God.
place. It looks like somewhere I used to know.
Do you remember yet? Do you remember me?
Yes. And no. It was my first apartment. I didn't have much money back then.
Is it coming into focus? Do you see me?
Why am I here? I thought this place was to be filled with happiness and joy.
Just wait a moment, and then you'll see. Tell me. Tell me what happened here.
It was so long ago. Before I entered the seminary, I was walking into my apartment. That night when he grabbed me from behind. I struggled, and I thought at first, but the moon that night was waning, and no one saw what he was about to do. He yanked my hair, and he dragged me into this apartment. There he beat me, and raped me, and left me for dead.
I was there that night.
What do you mean?
I saw it all happen.
How is that possible?
I lived across from you in 22B. That night, I was getting ready for a night out with my friends. As I was leaving, I saw him pulling you into your
apartment. Police said there were no eyewitnesses. I never saw you. No one reported anything.
I was leaving my apartment, and then I saw it all happen. But I froze. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. He looked at me with a stare that terrified my soul. I ran inside and I hid behind my door. I failed you. I know I did. But I couldn't bring myself to report it because I knew I left you there all alone. I was ashamed.
Ashamed? They never caught him. He could have done it to someone else.
I was such a coward. I let you down. I let every woman in all womankind down. I couldn't. I'm so sorry.
You've been taking me on a tutorial all this time just to bring this up here at the end. What purpose could this possibly serve?
I have to. We all have to. I don't know what I could ever say to make this okay.
Except you can't say anything to make it okay. It'll always be a cancerous tumor that grows back as soon as you come.
Thank you. Maybe you're right.
To forgive is to be forgiven.
To help is to be helped.
But now that you have forgiven me, we may both go in peace.
So this is still, like I said before, a work in progress. So what you saw was four scenes. Some of them were missing, some in between. So if it was a little confusing going from one to the other, hopefully what you could read on your paper gave you some insight into that. But I wanted to open it up and see if anyone had questions about anything musical or otherwise. Yeah.
I was wondering about the Mark Twain's story. I haven't read it. Like, how many pages is it? And is it a male character that transposed to a female character? Or?
Yeah, actually it is. So it's a short story. It's probably about 60 or 70 pages long, depending on what text you're reading it from. It was originally a male character, and yes, I switched it to a female character.
Also, does it have the science fiction elements that we saw here? Like,
it doesn't. So
okay. Yeah.
I modernized it a lot.
Yeah.
I tried to keep the a lot of the contents changed, but the ideas in it are the same. A lot of it's about making fun of some different like metaphorical things. He says a lot of things in the Bible are metaphorical. So that's how I kind of put like Darwin in here, and that whole scene was about that kind of. So I kind of modernized it in that way and kind of repurposed it so it would work a little better on the stage by having that character present it rather than him just kind of talking to one person the whole time. Because really it's just about a guide. He's taking him throughout heaven, and that's just pretty much it the whole time. They don't meet a ton of people. But some
of
them.
Is Charles Darwin there?
No, he's not.
Okay.
I put him in, yeah. I thought it was more impactful to have him singing about the metaphors in the Bible. It's a lot more dramatic on stage, and I had an aria I wanted to write for him, so. That's
Mark Twain is pretty irreverent. And,
yeah,
I mean,
oh
there's
yeah.
There's a famous quote, the weather is better in heaven, but the company is better in hell, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, Mark Twain is definitely like that, but I think in his time he was very irreverent and ahead of it, but like nowadays we'd probably look at that as pretty like average, so I had to kind of take it to that extreme again from where we are right now. So that's kind of why I did these different
things.
Thank you, appreciate it. Anyone else have any quick questions? Oh, someone. Hi. Yeah, that was, so a lot of the songs kind of took on their own elements as I was writing them. So like that song about being old, that's actually directly in the Mark Twain short story where they talk to people and they're all kind of waiting to be old because they realize that being young sucks because you don't have any knowledge and you're just kind of stupid. So I wanted to make that kind of a joke on, you know, there's a lot of musical theater and opera songs about being young and beautiful. So I kind of wanted to switch that around, and that's why I kind of had that little waltzy 3/4 meter when they're singing about being old. It's kind of like a romantic little ballad about being old instead of being young and beautiful. So that was that song. And then for the Darwin song, that was actually one of the first ones I wrote. And so since that one's a little darker, I wanted it to have a lot more dissonance and kind of moving lines in it. And I wanted him to kind of like parallel the double bass there. So he has a lot of singing with the double bass, which is really low. So I think that kind of complements his nice, Elliot's wonderful deep bass voice. And I think he did a great job on bringing it to life and not just like reading the notes on the page, but really interpreting that in an interesting way. So that's kind of how I came up with the different songs. Yeah, anything else? Well, thank you all for coming out to this experimental performance. Sorry, what was that?
How long do you think it will be when
I'm trying to get it done over the summer because it's my dissertation project.
The total length.
So I'm looking for like one act. So it's going to be a little over an hour, probably like an hour, 10 minutes. So not incredibly longer, but just kind of one of those in-between things, which is kind of unusual for an operetta too, or an opera anyway, so yeah.
The music is good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for coming out. I appreciate it. I'll be around if you want to talk after. Thanks.
Well, thank you.